This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side of the five. Michael Turner.
Who to start, who to sit, who's a sleeper, and who's a bust. A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle, caught, rush, 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 touchdown, welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Garrett Leach, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
Welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown on this Thursday here on Patriots.com. You know, I'm called the guru, fantasy geek, fantasy guru, whatever, and I can't be much of a guru if I'm not involved in fantasyguru.com. But this week, we're going to get involved with fantasyguru.com. We've got Joe Dolan from fantasyguru.com, a great fantasy football website. He's going to be joining us later on in the show, a true guru. I'm kind of the make-believe guru of Patriots.com. Jason nods his head in approval. Hey, I just try to spew some information. Maybe some of it sticks. That's all I do. But we try to help, and as we continue to move along here on the Fantasy Lowdown, we're now in our second year of doing this. You know, every now and then I get an email from someone who emails in each week and just says, boy, you helped me out this week. And I'm like, no way. You got to be just blowing smoke, right? But hey, maybe some of what I'm saying is helping you out there. If that's true,
lucky.
I appreciate it. Yeah, exactly. Lucky. If that is true, I hope you appreciate it, and I'm happy to help. And if it's not true, hey, bear with me. You know, maybe I'll get one right here or there. My name is Brian Lowe from Patriots Today on Patriots.com, and here helping you out with your fantasy football week ahead, week six in the NFL season. It has gone by fast. Hopefully you're not like Jason Dvorkin and you're 0-5 in your league and basically all done if you're like the Tennessee Titans of your football league.
I want to be the Detroit Lions.
So that's what you're going for. Now, see, isn't that kind of depressing when you hit that point in the season where you've turned the corner from trying to dig out of the hole and you're trying to just be winless? You know, maybe you're in a league, not you, Jason, specifically, but maybe some listeners are in a league where, you know, the team that finishes last gets like a 5% cut of the winnings if you're in a money league or something like that. And if that's the case, hey, all the power to you. I won this week. Once again, I'm 4-1, tied in a three-way tie for first place in our league, the B-Low League, on Yahoo.com. And we've got 12 people in our league. Jason still looking up from the very, very bottom at 0-5. Believe it or not, Jason doesn't have the fewest points in the league. One team has 395. Jason is tied with someone else with 400. But I had really what definitely was for me a tough decision on starting quarterback between Matt Hasselbeck and Matt Ryan. I've said this before early on in the season on this show, that I was really high on Matt Hasselbeck this season in a bounce back year. I just thought that they had a good amount of weapons, not necessarily with one wide receiver that I thought was going to be, you know, the be-all, end-all for that team, but I just thought their combination of targets would be pretty good, and if Hasselbeck could stay healthy, I thought he'd have a good year. And, so far in the games that he's actually played, which is really only about 2.5 of the five, he's looked good. And I decided to start Hasselbeck this past week against Jacksonville instead of Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan playing San Francisco. Now, I obviously could have gone, as it turned out, could have gone either way, but I was very happy to start Hasselbeck, and Hasselbeck gave me 35 points, which allowed me to have a fairly comfortable victory over Goldsmith's Blitzers, and we're going to hear from him in a little bit. Matt Ryan, 29 points, Matt Hasselbeck, 35. So not a huge disparity there, and it turned out I would have won either way, but that was definitely listen, it's all relative here in fantasy football, but that was an agonizing decision for me, which one to start, because you almost figured Matt Ryan was a fairly safe bet, but going against a San Francisco defense that had been pretty hot going in, or Matt Hasselbeck going against a Jacksonville offense that is, or, I'm sorry, a Jacksonville defense that's not very good, but it was his first game back from injury. So, Seattle wins 41-0, Atlanta wins 45-10, both guys had huge numbers. Hasselbeck throws four touchdown passes and 241 yards. Matt Ryan, two touchdown passes but 329 yards. So big performances right there. And then I got really monster games out of Andre Johnson and Tashard Choice. So I was very happy with my performance, my team's performance, and that was even with terrible performances. Oh, and that's part of it, too, was I started the San Francisco defense. I had the San Francisco defense, so that was part of it, I should say. I was confident enough in the San Fran defense that was part of my decision to sit Matt Ryan. San Francisco defense gave me a goose egg. My kicker, Josh Scobie, Jacksonville, gave me a goose egg. Kenny Britt, sort of a bye week replacement I need to throw in there, gave me 1 point. Jerome Harrison, who I was high on, gave me only 2 points. I really only got big performances from three guys, Hasselbeck, Andre Johnson, and Tashard Choice, but still able to win against a team that had Jason Campbell at quarterback. Not a great performance by him, but 11 points out of him, you're going to feel okay. Hines Ward, 14. So there you go. I had a nice performance, and sitting fairly comfortably at 4-1. Jason, as he always does during this 4 o'clock hour, is examining his team and trying to see where, if at all, he can improve his team. Maybe today what he's doing is trying to see how bad his team can really be. Maybe he's trying to pick up, injured reserve guys to start and try to be, I guess it would be 14 in our league. So,
yeah, what do you think of Andre Brown from the Giants?
Well, I'll tell you what, Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs, I think are both sort of banked up. And, Andre Brown, I think actually is a guy who might get some reps.
No, he's on IR.
Oh, he's on IR? Shows what I know.
That was part of the joke.
That was part of the joke. Who is there? I should know this. Who's behind him? Behind Bradshaw. Bradshaw missed practice Thursday, but he's expected to return. So you still probably should go with them. Now, on Patriots Today, in our picks last week, when I do a fantasy lowdown segment every Friday, I chose... We cross-promote around here, Jason. That's just how we do business.
I know.
What, does Fred never bring up Patriots Football Weekly?
No. But
it's called PFW in Progress.
Still.
Fair enough. I understand. I understand how it goes. I pinpointed Brandon Jacobs as a guy to start. Now, you're always going to want to start him, but I figured against Oakland that would be a key matchup. That would be a big-time matchup for him. And as it turned out, Ahmad Bradshaw had the big performance. So you never know is basically what I'm saying. Never know. Webradio at Patriots.com is our email address. I say this every week. We are email-driven here. We love to hear from you. Already have some emails that we're going to get to in just a few minutes. In about a half an hour, we're going to talk to Joe Dolan, fantasyguru.com. We're going to ask him a whole bunch of questions about some of the matchups this week, some of his ideas on who are some sleepers coming up this week. Going to look at a few other columnists that I always like to look at, including Jamie Eisenberg, who we had on the show last week, Greg Rosenthal's rankings. We'll get to all of that here on the show. And definitely want to hear from you. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Is our email address. Just from last week's games, a couple of notes and guys that stood out to me on a positive or a negative standpoint. If Derek Anderson was a guy that you had on your team as sort of a QB bye week replacement, good luck to you. 2 of 17, barely threw any yardage. Forget about a touchdown. I mean, there was no sniff of a touchdown in that game, Cleveland and Buffalo, 6-3 final. But Derek Anderson, what a miserable performance. And definitely, Derek Anderson isn't a guy that you are ever going to really want to start on your team. But if you needed to in a bye week, hey, you figure, Cleveland, terrible team, but they're going against Buffalo, also a terrible team. Maybe we can get something out of him. Just didn't work out. Just did not work out right there at all. So Derek Anderson, terrible performance. I thought Dante Culpepper, he had reasonable stats, a lot of attempts. I mean, he threw the ball a lot. And the question is, who is he throwing to? Looks like Calvin Johnson is a little banged up now. And he, what was the latest on him that I saw today? He missed Thursday's practice. Sort of doubtful that he's going to play. And, it opens up possibilities for guys like Dennis Northcutt, Bryant Johnson. In one of my other leagues, I actually picked up Dennis Northcutt for this week. I had a couple of wide receivers on a bye, and I thought, if Culpepper's playing and throwing the ball quite a bit and Calvin Johnson isn't playing, then Northcutt might be a guy who's going to get some opportunities there in that offense. So I found that to be interesting. Definitely something to look at for this coming week is Rashard Mendenhall and Willie Parker. Mendenhall has come out, has been on a roll with Parker out. Does Parker come back? How does that affect their carries? That's certainly an interesting one.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
Right, exactly. Mendenhall has been ridiculous, Andy, much to your pleasure. Josh Johnson, 50 attempts in Tampa. Now, 3 of those were interceptions. That's not good. He did throw 2 touchdown passes. So you wonder if Josh Johnson is going to be throwing the ball a lot. if you need a bye week replacement, how good Josh Johnson is, because you know, if you can deal with some interceptions, which are going to come, but you're going to get a lot of yardage and you're going to get some touchdowns as well, you know, maybe that's not too bad. He throws two touchdown passes to Kellen Winslow, a guy who I pegged as to have a bad year this year, but that's a big performance by him. How about Jeremy Maclin? As part of Donovan McNabb's big day with Philadelphia, a breakout performance for him. And that, you know, you wonder, is he a wide receiver that could have some consistency, a rookie wide receiver? That is a question. No other wide receiver on that team had more than one catch, but it was a blowout, against Tampa Bay. That Atlanta offense, I mentioned Matt Ryan earlier, Roddy White, Michael Turner, Matt Ryan, those guys had a monster. They all had monster first halves in that game. That was very impressive. And then with Matt Hasselbeck, Nate Burleson, TJ Houshmandzadeh have two touchdowns each. I personally think if Matt Hasselbeck's healthy on most weeks, that passing game is going to do well. And if you have Burleson, if you have Houshmandzadeh, I don't know if Deion Branch, Deion Butler are guys you want to get in there too quickly, but I think Burleson and Houshmandzadeh are going to be all right. All right, hey, we were in Denver. Eric and I were just talking about Denver. Kyle Orton. I mean, who really thought he'd be on a fantasy radar screen when this season began? But what a day he had. He throws an interception to who? Randy Moss. Moss has as many interceptions as catches in that game. So Kyle Orton's stats, fantasy stats marred slightly by that interception, but that really wasn't in the run of play, per se. No Sean Moreno, a pretty solid game, running some of that wild horse. And Carell Buckhalter continues to be out, although he claims he's going to play against the Chargers Monday night. He says he's at 90%. Even if he plays, No Sean Moreno will probably still be the primary back, so he might be a little bit on the rise. The Patriots running game. We were talking last week. It was a hot topic on the show last week because we found out Fred Taylor just a few hours before the Fantasy Lowdown last Thursday that Fred Taylor was having surgery and probably was going to be out, certainly for this past game, but probably for many weeks. Who would take most of the carries? I felt it would be Sammy Morris. Turned out that was the case. He didn't have a huge day. In fact, his longest game was on a catch, but I think it showed that I think in most games he's going to get most of the carries as opposed to Lawrence Maroney or Kevin Falk or Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. The Sunday night game, Tennessee and Indianapolis, that Indianapolis offense is just unbelievable. Peyton Manning had three different guys with at least eight catches in that game. Austin Collie, Dallas Clark, Joseph Addai, a wide receiver, a tight end, a running back. That shows you what a diverse offense they had, no question about it. And then the Monday night game, Miami and the Jets. Braylon Edwards, I really thought, and I said this last week, Braylon Edwards would be in the mix right from the get-go. I just felt the combination of Rex Ryan, kind of a brash head coach making a big move, he'd want to get that guy involved on a Monday night primetime stage, and he got a touchdown the first half. I thought that was interesting, and Mark Sanchez thrown to him. And Chad Henne, I also said a couple weeks ago that I think of these guys, in the Chad Henne, Josh Johnson, Derek Anderson, Seneca Wallace, these guys who had started to get some opportunities after the first couple weeks of the season. I think Chad Henne's a guy to look at as a guy who could be make a fantasy difference this year. He's the guy. Chad Pennington's on IR. It's not like some of these other teams where guys got benched and might come back and who knows who it's going to be. It's going to be Chad Henne. Except for when they play the Wildcat offense. So keep Chad Henne in mind. If he's still available, go after him. This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio, web radio at Patriots.com. We're going to be talking to Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com shortly. And in the meantime, we're going to get to some of your emails right here. This is from Jeremy, owner of the Minnesota Fighting Pike. We hear from Jeremy often. He says, thanks for your help a few weeks ago. I'm in a 12-team family league. Brother, sister, parents, in-laws, cousins, and uncles. Must make Thanksgiving pretty fun there for you, Jeremy. It stretches from London to the state of Washington. The message board is a great way for all of us to stay in touch. So it's rivalry week in our Yahoo League, and I need to win over my uncle, a Giants fan, or I'll never hear the end of it. Also, there are eight teams tied for second place at 3-2. Wow, Jeremy, tight league with all the family members there. Standard scoring only, no points per reception. Here's what he says. I need one wide receiver among these three, two if Calvin Johnson doesn't play, and as I said a little while ago, Jeremy, doesn't look great for Calvin Johnson against Green Bay. Derek Mason against Minnesota, Nate Washington against New England, Donnie Avery against Jacksonville. If you need only one, give me Derek Mason. I just think there's the most consistency in that Baltimore offense among the ones that you mentioned here. And, against Minnesota, You know, they have a middle of the pack passing defense, but Joe Flacco throws the ball, and Derek Mason's their number one target. So I think I'd go Derek Mason. If you got to go to a second one, I'd go Donnie Avery just because of the chance of the big play against the Jacksonville Jaguars defense that we saw against Seattle when they played Seattle last week. They're a terrible QB situation for St. Louis, but I'd go Donnie Avery. He had a touchdown last week. So if you need two of them, go Mason and Avery. Needs one wide receiver out of, I'm sorry, one running back out of these following four. Sammy Morris against Tennessee, Fred Jackson against the Jets, LeSean McCoy against Oakland, Jamal Lewis against Pittsburgh. I'm narrowing it down to two for you, and that's LeSean McCoy and Sammy Morris. I don't like Jamal Lewis. Big game last week, but against Pittsburgh's defense, and, you know, I just, Jamal Lewis needs to give me a little more than just one big game before I rely on him, especially against the number two ranked defense, rush defense in the league in Pittsburgh. Fred Jackson against the Jets, again, a good defense, disappointing week last week, but I just think between Fred Jackson and Marshawn Lynch, we're starting to see a split there. Sammy Morris, I think, is going to be the main back for the Patriots, but I think they're going to be going to the passing game a ton. I just don't see it being a big game for the Patriots. Running backs, LeSean McCoy is extremely intriguing this week, and here's why. Against Oakland, that Philadelphia offense is churning. Oakland's defense is terrible. Oakland is terrible overall. When you're playing against a team that's that terrible, and you know Philadelphia, you're pretty confident Philadelphia is going to get a lead early on, that just opens the door for a guy like LeSean McCoy, a young guy, sort of a backup, and in the mold of Ahmad Bradshaw last week, I think LeSean McCoy has a chance for a monster game. Give me LeSean McCoy out of those four, Jeremy, and I think you're gonna feel good about it. So, you know, Sammy Morris, Fred Jackson, Jamal Lewis, I don't think they're all terrible choices, but I just think LeSean McCoy is the most intrigue and is a guy that you're going to want to, you're going to really rue the day. If you sit him this week, this is a week. This is a week to play LeSean McCoy, the more and more I think about it. Thanks, Jeremy. Good luck this week in your rivalry week with all your family members there on your Yahoo League. More emails to come here. This one is this one's from Nico in the Philippines. Hi, B-Lo. I enjoy your show because it gives me ideas of a better fantasy team, especially for me being a newbie in fantasy football. I'm currently 6th out of 12 with a 3-2 win-loss record. Hey, like the Patriots. I'm on a three-game winning streak, so I'd like to maintain my position. I have a problem with my lineup for this week. For my flex position, Earl Bennett at Atlanta, Antonio Bryant against Carolina, Jonathan Stewart at Tampa Bay. I need two players. Which player do I need to drop? Thanks for your help, and I hope you do well in your league. Maybe next year I can join as well. Nico, if you keep up this three-game winning streak, we'll consider you next year. No question about it. All right, he needs two out of these three. Earl Bennett, Antonio Bryant, Jonathan Stewart. As ugly as I think that Carolina-Tampa Bay game could be, I'm probably going with those two guys, Jonathan Stewart, Antonio Bryant. Jonathan Stewart for sure. I think Jonathan Stewart's the one guarantee out of those against Tampa Bay's run defense. They're 28th in the league, and Jonathan Stewart is a pretty solid running back, pretty solid choice. The problem is he is, I believe he's injured and questionable. He is questionable. You got to keep that in mind. If it turns out, if you know that he's going to play or if it gets upgraded to probable, Jonathan Stewart for sure. And then Antonio Bryant, like I was saying earlier with Josh Johnson. Josh Johnson's throwing the ball. He's throwing the ball. Carolina's pass defense is pretty good, but here's what's going to happen. If Josh Johnson keeps throwing the ball and Antonio Bryant is one of his primary targets, Johnson might end up with some picks, but if you own Antonio Bryant, what do you care? You don't care if he throws interceptions as long as some of those balls land in Antonio Bryant's hands and maybe one go for a touchdown. Not really big on Earl Bennett this week against Atlanta. And just, you know, not sold on him. So I'd probably go Jonathan Stewart and Antonio Bryant. If Jonathan Stewart gets downgraded or ruled out and you don't have much choice, go Antonio Bryant and Earl Bennett. Nico, thank you very much. Keep up the good work right there. Webradio at patriots.com is our email address. Webradio at patriots.com. Before we get to a few more emails, I just want to touch on some notes that I saw in an always interesting column. Jamie Eisenberg this week talking on CBSSports.com, talking about wide receivers who are on the rise in the waiver wire, and it just seems like wide receivers this year, just about every week, if you need a wide receiver, depending on how deep your league is, obviously, but if you need a wide receiver, there's definitely some good ones available. And he mentions, sort of in order, he goes through some, Eddie Royal. Eddie Royal is a guy who, coming into this year, was Yeah, he was a pretty solid option, wide receiver. Had a very disappointing start and really didn't come on the scene until this past week against the Patriots. So Eddie Royal, he says, is pretty good. He says, Royal has been terrible all season, but he finally had the type of game everyone hoped for based on how he played as a rookie. Prior to the Patriots game, Kyle Orton talked about Royal staying positive and trying to get him more involved. It showed as he was targeted 15 times, and hopefully this is the beginning of a good stretch. Then other guys, Donnie Avery, who I mentioned earlier, if you need a receiver for a week, he says Avery is your man because they play Jacksonville. And, you know, I think Avery is a guy who you could pick up this week, feel good about him and his prospects for this week against Jacksonville, and keep him on board. You know, he's a guy with some intrigue. He might be a guy that you could start again depending on the matchup. You don't want to rely on anyone in St. Louis's passing game, that's for sure, but Donnie Avery has some big play capability. Miles Austin's another one. He had a huge game. 10 passes, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns against Kansas City. The question is, you know, when a guy has such a huge game, there's a chance, you know, he's not going to keep that up. But you might want to take a chance. Austin Cauley. Certainly, as long as Anthony Gonzalez is out for a little while longer, clearly there's some rapport between Peyton Manning and Austin Cauley, and I think that's a safe bet. They're on a bye this week, but if you pick up Austin Cauley, I think you're going to have more positive weeks than not, so you can feel pretty good about that. Jeremy Maclin, you always wonder with these rookie wide receivers who have a big game. It's just so tough for rookie wide receivers that have consistently good outings. But Macklin's got a chance for one, I think. I think that Philadelphia offense, you know, obviously there's DeSean Jackson, other guys that they've got there, but I think there's a chance for Jeremy Maclin to have some big play capability. Hakeem Nicks. Does he get lost in the shuffle with all those Giants wide receivers who are coming on this year? Maybe, but worth taking a chance on. A few others he mentions, Josh Morgan, Chris Henry, Michael Crabtree. The question is, you know, as Jamie says, it's hard to imagine Crabtree starting his season in Week 7 against Houston and playing well after missing all of training camp in the first 5 games due to holdout. But if talent wins out, then Crabtree has the chance to be a star, and you'll want that potential on your roster. So a guy worth picking up right now for the chance of having some you know, fantasy success later on. And Andre Caldwell, Mike Wallace are a few others. So very interesting stuff from Jamie Eisenberg. He always delivers. CBSSports.com. He's one of their better fantasy football columnists. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Those are the ways to reach us here on the Fantasy Lowdown. We come to you every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking at the NFL schedule for this week, the teams on a bye are Dallas, Indianapolis, Miami, and San Francisco. So some high-powered offenses there. Obviously, Indianapolis on a roll, but you're going to have to deal with a different quarterback if you've got Manning, different running backs, and all that. Dallas has had some fantasy, some positive fantasy outings. Miami, just a huge outing the other night. Ronnie Brown, Chad Henne, and San Francisco, very much a disappointment last Sunday. We'll see what they can do after their bye week. So, you know, a couple of games that I think are going to be big-time fantasy outings, you know, that includes Baltimore, Minnesota. You know, I think those offenses are going to do well. Giants, New Orleans, another couple of offenses sure to do well. Back to the emails we go. This is from our regular Paul in London. Paul, 1 week from, right about now, I'm going to be en route. Going to be en route and be looking forward to seeing you guys. Here's what he says. Hey, Brian and Doc, sorry for beating you, Jason, but it had to be done to keep me in first place. That's right. Paul beat Jason. Paul and I and one other team are tied for first place.
It is what it is.
Exactly. Rather than the usual start and sit questions, I have a trade proposal in my 16-team league that I'd like some reasoning on. All right, so this is your other league. I wouldn't want to give you too much insight on a trade proposal in our league. I think that would be a conflict of interest, Paul, but here we go. I'd be giving up Marcus Colston and Darren Sproles. It started as Tashard Choice, then Maroney, but have been asked for Sproles. In return, I'd be getting Antonio Gates and Austin Cauley. So it's Colston and Sproles being given up, receiving Gates and Cauley. Since I can start two tight ends in my league, I can start Gates as well as Dustin Keller. Definitely an important factor, no question about it. The only problem is that my running back situation is already bad at best. It would leave me Felix Jones and Tashard Choice, who are on a bye, and they're on the same team, and Maroney and Falk, who would have to start. I would try and scan the waiver wire and look for another trade, but I know it is unlikely that I can improve without giving up Choice. My feelings on Colston is that he's part of a passing attack, but the receivers are having the ball spread between them. I already have Andre Johnson and Vincent Jackson. Cauley would help after the bye week. Your thoughts? Very interesting trade. It's a very intriguing element of that starting two tight ends, because if you have Gates and Keller, that's pretty good. I see what you're saying about Colston with New Orleans, the ball being spread around, but Colston's the best of the bunch. He's the best of the bunch on the best passing game in the league. And granted, Drew Brees has gone two straight games without throwing a touchdown. I promise you that won't keep up. He'll throw at least two this week against the Giants. And as far as, you know, having to give up Sproles and having to deal with Choice, Maroney, that's tough. Jones, Felix Jones, injured. Tashard Choice, good, not great. Maroney and Falk, I don't like them. And I think Austin Colley, while he's doing very well, I think if Anthony Gonzalez comes back, he gets notched down a peg. And, I'm going to say don't make that trade. I wouldn't want to give up on Marcus Colston during this game, this year that New Orleans has. And I just think your situation there at running back is prohibitive. Granted, you can pick up running backs often on the waiver wire. But do you want to rely on that? And I think you're going to struggle a little bit with that trade. I wouldn't make that trade, Paul. That's just my opinion. Okay, real quick, his start him or sit him questions. He does get to that. McNabb or Favre? Give me McNabb. Give me McNabb this week. Philadelphia against Oakland. A la Eli Manning last week. Throw a couple of quick touchdown passes. Get the game going and probably get out of there. I like McNabb better. Fred Jackson or Marshawn Lynch? Very tough call. Very tough call. I'm going to lean toward Lynch. If it starts getting more balanced between those two teams, I'm going to lean toward Lynch. And then Aaron Rodgers or Mark Sanchez? Aaron Rodgers. Absolutely. Aaron Rodgers against Detroit. Are you kidding me? Or Mark Sanchez against Buffalo? Give me Aaron Rodgers against Detroit against any, over any rookie quarterback. No question about it. And then finally, he needs two running backs, two wide receivers, tight end, wide receiver, tight end, wide receiver, running back among these. Wide receivers. Owens, Vincent Jackson, Percy Harvin, Jericho Cotchery, Eddie Royal. You're probably going to want to go Vincent Jackson, Eddie Royal. Don't like Owens. Been a disaster. Going to continue to be a disaster. Harvin and Cotchery both banged up. I like Vincent Jackson, Eddie Royal right there. Running backs, Slayton, Forte, Julius Jones. You need two of those. You're definitely going to go Forte. Julius Jones, Steve Slayton. Probably lean towards Slayton, as disappointing as he's been. And then tight end, Keller and Olsen. Probably going to want to go Keller, but then you're going to need Olsen in there too, I think. You're going to want Olsen for your wide receiver tight end, then your wide receiver running back, maybe Julius Jones, but if Percy Harvin or Jericho Cotchery are healthy, maybe go with one of those guys. Thanks for the help, Brian. See you next week at either the Flag Football or the Night Out. Share our fantasy thoughts in person. No question about it, Paul. Much appreciated. We're going to take a break in a second. We're going to be back with, from FantasyGuru.com, Joe Dolan. We're still catching your emails. We've got a few more in the inbox, and we'll be right back on the Fantasy Lowdown right after this.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in a shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, The Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio, web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. That's how you can reach us. We come your way every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern here on Patriots.com. And very happy to be joined on today's show by Joe Dolan, senior writer from FantasyGuru.com. Some great stuff they have on the website. Joe, thank you very much for joining us today.
Brian, it's great to be here. I'm glad to join you here, and I'm looking forward to a very good week of football, what it should be. Last week was a little bit kind of blah. This week, a lot of good matchups, so it's going to be fun to watch.
You mean you didn't enjoy the Cleveland-Buffalo game from a fantasy perspective?
Oh, no, not really. Can't tell you, I did.
I mentioned earlier that if you chose Derek Anderson as your quarterback, fantasy bye week quarterback replacement, you probably weren't too thrilled with the performance.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny because my coworker Matt Camp here, he's also a senior writer. Yeah. I was playing him in one particular league, and he used Derek Anderson as his bye week fill-in, and I thanked him very much for that on Sunday night.
There you go. So I know you do a lot with just going game by game and analyzing games and previewing, and you say right off the bat it's a good week. Tell us one or two of the games that you're most looking at. Probably New Orleans, New York Giants is one of them, Minnesota, Baltimore. What's your general outlook before we get a little more in depth on some specific games?
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of games that are going to become really interesting, at least for fantasy purposes. If you're looking at the way I look at some of the games, mm-hmm. Houston-Cincinnati is going to be really interesting because Cincinnati's cornerbacks play like a soft coverage. They drop back, and they give a cushion to the wide receivers. Giving a cushion to Andre Johnson seems like it's just absolutely suicide because Andre Johnson did everything but eat the Arizona Cardinal cornerbacks last week. So that's going to be a really interesting matchup for me to watch. But as some of our astute readers pointed out, the Bengals have been shutting down number one receivers.
Yeah.
They shut down Greg Jennings. They shut down Santonio Holmes. They shut down Brandon Marshall. Derek Mason didn't have a catch last week. So that's going to be one of the matchups I'm really intrigued to watch to see how Andre Johnson does against a matchup in terms of just physical ability he should excel in, but the Bengals are a real scheme-based defense. They're a real execution-based defense, and maybe they're just doing something that's taken away that top target. So that's one of the games we're really looking at. Arizona-Seattle being another one. This has the potential to be a shootout if you saw what Seattle's offense looked like with Matt Hasselbeck finally back in the fold. So that's one that I'm really looking at as a game that might be putting up a lot of fantasy points. And we have our share of duds this week. Kansas City, Washington is going to be a terrible game. Who knows what's going to happen with Philadelphia, Oakland. But as a whole, just a lot of good matchups this week, a lot more than last week, and a lot more than week one, which was another terrible week of football.
Yeah, well, with so many very bad teams in the NFL, you're bound to have a couple games here or there every week where there's going to be, you know, bad matchups. So that's very interesting. You mentioned Seattle earlier, and I was saying early in the show, on one of my teams, I had Matt Hasselbeck and Matt Ryan, and I kind of agonized over who to start, and I went with Hasselbeck. Now, I probably would have won with either one of those guys, but Hasselbeck throwing four touchdowns, it certainly came on strong. One sort of topic I want to ask you about is with wide receivers, and we've seen guys like, you know, like last week, Miles Austin and Jeremy Maclin have massive games, and you see some of these guys, you know, maybe not necessarily come out of nowhere to have huge performances, but they're not yet the elite guys. And the question is, okay, a guy like Jeremy Maclin has a huge game last week. Can we expect that week in, week out? Can we expect that from Miles Austin? So I guess what I'm asking is, with those two guys in particular, what do you think we can expect going forward? And who are some other maybe under-the-radar wide receivers who have had some big performances recently that we think we can start seeing consistently if you're looking for bye week replacements at wide receiver?
Yeah, there's a couple out there. And when it comes to Maclin, he's an interesting one because we thought actually we made a call early last week before – the game was played, that Kevin Curtis, the Eagles starting receiver, had 1,200 yards 2 years ago. His knee is really bothering him. Mm-hmm. And while he's back in practice now, he can't run like the way he used to. And given the Eagles offense, they need guys who can run. And we thought this would have been a really good week against Tampa Bay, a really poor secondary, for the Eagles just to get Jeremy Maclin and try to start running him down the field. We also thought it would be a huge week for DeSean Jackson, but it seems like Maclin got all the touches that Jackson normally would get. So it's kind of hard to forecast games for secondary receivers like Maclin.
Yep.
But Miles Austin seems like he's going to be a little bit more promising going forward. Roy Williams is kind of a square peg, round hole fit in that offense.
Yeah.
And Miles Austin actually is a better fit for what the Cowboys are trying to do. A lot of people are talking about Roy Williams like, oh, my God, this guy's terrible. This guy just can't do anything. He's not motivated. He is a pretty good player. He's not a great player anymore, but he's a pretty good player that's just kind of square peg, round hole into this offense. While Miles Austin just fits a little bit better with Tony Romo, he can make the big plays they want from their wide receivers. So Miles Austin, as Wade Phillips said this week, he got 58 plays against the Chiefs. Phillips really wants to get him about the same workload. Now, we've heard coaches posturing in the past. Hopefully he's not posturing. Hopefully he's getting Miles Austin about as active as he possibly can because he's right now the best fit for their offense from the receiver position. So of those two guys, Austin's the guy I'm trusting a little bit more going forward. But one guy I really you need to look out for is Steve Breston from Arizona, if you're talking about bye week fill-ins, because this guy is still consistently flying under the radar because, obviously, he's the third best receiving option on a team that just has two monster wide receivers. But Breston's actually on pace for close to another 1,000-yard season after having one last year, and he's fighting off a nasty PCL sprain, which is actually pretty difficult to do, so he deserves some props for that. He's just not scoring touchdowns, but if you're in a PPR league, points per reception, he's making catches, he's making plays, he's going across the middle. So he's a guy, especially in a matchup this week against the Seattle team that cannot match up well in the secondary with Arizona, he's a guy you might look at this week if you're really looking for a guy to fill in.
Very interesting, and you make a great point about sometimes just about the fit. And if Roy Williams was on a different offense, you know, maybe he'd be a big-time fantasy performer. So you definitely have to look at that. And you got to look at who's, you know, who quarterbacks are targeting. And that kind of segues into the next question I had, which was, you know, we had saw a few guys, a few quarterbacks throwing a ton of balls last week that we maybe wouldn't have thought of. Dante Culpepper stepping in for Stafford throws, I think, 50 passes. Or Josh Johnson threw 50 passes.
Right.
And when a quarterback's throwing that many balls, they've got to go to someone. Who among the wide receivers on those two offenses that aren't necessarily great offenses would you consider picking up this week if you need a replacement?
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting question. From Detroit, though, you make a great point. Calvin Johnson did not practice yesterday, and he's not going to practice today. Right now, it doesn't look like Calvin Johnson is going to play this week.
Right.
If Bryant Johnson is available in your leagues, he's going to be the Detroit Lions' number one receiving target this week. And it looks like right now Dante Culpepper is still going to be the guy. Stafford has a chance, as does Calvin Johnson. But right now it looks like Culpepper and Bryant Johnson is going to be the 1-2 there this weekend. And Bryant Johnson's actually been making some plays this year.
Yep.
It's just the whole dynamic of, all right, is Brian Johnson making plays because Calvin Johnson is drawing the double coverage?
Sure.
So it's kind of hard to get a real read on that. And when it comes to the Buccaneers, it's very clear who their number one receiver is, and it's Kellen Winslow,
yeah,
the tight end.
Yep. Two touchdowns so, last week, yeah.
He's phenomenal. The Eagles have trouble with the tight end, but Kellen Winslow can play like a wide receiver anyway. So Kellen Winslow is becoming a very viable start on a week-to-week basis. It just took a couple weeks for Josh Johnson to get on the same page as Kellen Winslow.
Yep.
But now it looks like they're, going forward, they're going to be the hookup there. Remember, Josh Johnson had a lot of dropped balls this week. Antonio Bryant dropped a couple. Sammy Stroud dropped a couple. Michael Clayton has been dropping passes, yeah, all season. So he actually played pretty well. He can get the ball to his receivers. It's just we need to wait for some consistency from the Buccaneer wide receivers before we advocate playing any of them, maybe besides Antonio Bryant in a deep league, because
right,
it's pretty evident that the wide receiver position there is a real weak point of that football team on a team full of them.
Exactly. Now, okay, enough of me talking, asking you about specific guys. You're looking at all the games, obviously looking very very specifically about different matchups. Who are some of your sleepers for this week? If anyone's going to fantasyguru.com and wants to get the true lowdown, why don't you give us a taste of some of the sleepers for week six?
Yeah, one of the guys we really love this week is Knowshon Moreno from Denver, and there's a couple reasons why. If you remember a couple weeks ago on that Sunday night football game, what happened to the San Diego Charger defense with the Pittsburgh Steelers just coming in there and running all over them.
Sure.
Rashard Mendenhall ran for close to 170 yards. He had two touchdowns in that game. And Rashard Mendenhall, up until that point, did not look like he, one, could, or two, wanted to be a National Football League running back. Well, there's something clicked in Mendenhall's head, and then it all came together because that San Diego Charger defense is atrocious.
Sure.
Well, now we know the Denver Broncos want to get the ball into Knowshon Moreno's hands. They were running that wildcat, the wild horses formation, as
right,
they call it, with him behind center. They're getting him the ball with the direct snap. They're getting it to him in the passing game. He had over 20 carries this past week. Karell Buckhalter's still shaken up, even though he's an effective player when he's out there. This is a really good matchup for Knowshon Moreno to control the game against the Chargers, especially on the road. You want to get going and get the crowd out of the game. And this Charger defense is a team that can be taken out of the game by a strong running game, as the Steelers proved. And it's a really good week for Moreno to get going and to have his first truly big game as a rookie here.
Absolutely. And Patriots fans saw a little bit out of Moreno. You know, he had a pretty solid game the other day, like you said, running that wild horse and kind of trying,
yeah,
to get the Patriots defense off balance. So, yeah, saw a little bit of that. How about on the other side? Any one big disappointment you think on the horizon for this week?
Yeah, there's a couple. One guy I really am not liking a whole lot this week, how about Donovan McNabb?
Mm.
It's nothing in terms of McNabb himself, but they're playing the Oakland Raiders. We know the Raiders have one of the top corners in football, Nnamdi Asamoah. God knows how Nnamdi Asamoah is sane there, but that's another story. But the Eagles really are mixing the ball around pretty well. McNabb's coming back from an injury. This is a good week maybe to get LeSean McCoy some touches. It's a good week to get Brian Westbrook going, considering he just got back from injury. They gave the two of them a 50-50 split, and the Eagles probably are going to want to control that game in the black hole, which, as bad as the Raiders are, it's still a tough place to play.
Yep.
That doesn't mean McNabb can't put up big numbers. We saw Eli Manning have a pretty viable fantasy start, and he didn't even play the entire first half. But this just might be, on the road, a time for the Eagles to maybe try out, see if they can establish some sort of consistency with that wildcat formation, which right now is kind of like Miami's last year, where it's a little bit more of a gimmick and not really a whole offensive machine. We saw what Miami has turned it into, obviously,
yeah,
against the Jets on Monday night.
Yeah.
But this might be the time for the Eagles to try some stuff out, get the running game moving, which they haven't done this year, and they tend not to do a whole lot over the course of the season. But this is probably the best chance for them to do it this year.
And we saw, like you mentioned last week, Giants playing against Oakland. Eli Manning and Ahmad Bradshaw had numbers in the first half that a lot of players would be happy with over the course of a whole game. But you wonder, Oakland on the at home versus on the road, maybe they show a little bit more bite.
Right.
From a Patriots perspective, and we are here on Patriots.com, you know, people are always interested in what's going on here. Do you think this week and this matchup, Patriots offense against Tennessee's banged up secondary and defense could be the week that we start to see Tom Brady really post some of those massive numbers he had in 2007. Maybe get Randy Moss in the end zone. He's only been there once. Maybe the tight ends. Do you think this could be a week where the Patriots offense could put up some big time fantasy points?
I tell you what, Brian, that's exactly what we are expecting this week. The Titans over the season are giving up the most fantasy points per game to the quarterback position and to the wide receiver position. This is a huge week for Brady, it's a huge week for Moss, and it's a huge week for Wes Welker. The Titans cannot cover anyone. They're not generating much of a pass rush, which should be really good for Brady, because when Brady has been down this year, and he's been down quite a few times, it's because he's leaving plays on the field and he's getting a little bit of happy feet in the pocket, which we've never seen from Tom Brady.
Right.
Coming back from a serious knee injury, you have to almost expect that from a guy. He's human. He got hurt pretty badly. This is something that he's got to get himself out of. This is a really good week for him to do it. No matter who the Titans have been playing this year, they've gotten shredded through the air. Obviously, Peyton Manning had his way with them. Obviously, David Garrard had 323 passing yards. Mark Sanchez put together an efficient game. Matt Schaub tore him apart. Ben Roethlisberger tore him apart. Tom Brady has a fantastic matchup, and it would be time to start worrying a little bit if he struggles against this defense and this secondary that's banged up, has problems everywhere. It's just a mess right now. And if you have Tom Brady, if you have Randy Moss, if you have Wes Welker, I'm begging you, start them all this week. It is the week to do it.
And consecutive games, Tennessee and Tampa Bay before their bye week. And like you said, if they can't
Tampa
get it going.
Tampa Bay is terrible, too. Yeah, no pass rush, no secondary. This is where Tom Brady gets going if he's getting going this year, and we think he will.
Exactly. We're talking to Joe Dolan, a senior writer from FantasyGuru.com. And before we let you go, Joe, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your website, about what you guys do there, and any of our listeners who are looking for some pretty good fantasy information, what they can get from your website.
Well, I tell you what, FantasyGuru.com is a condensed information website. It's an information database. You can't play fantasy leagues on here, but what we say is we give you the advantage to take control of your other leagues. What we do is we pull all the information, we pull all the news, we have insider access, we have insider coaching film reports from Greg Cosell from NFL Films. He's a real film maven. This guy breaks down tape like no other. He does it every day, and he watches games for 10 to 12 hours a day. That's where we think we provide the advantage. And for $29.95 a year, right now, you get this year, the rest of the season, and next year as a free add-on. And you can just come in and see our weekly projections. We have a database where you can input your teams, input your own scoring system, and it adjusts our projections based off of your teams and off of your scoring systems. We have weekly columns on strategy, on waiver wire potential pickups, mm-hmm. on guys you should be looking to trade, guys you should be looking to trade for. And we think it's the most comprehensive package of fantasy football information on the web. So log in, go to fantasyguru.com, that's G-U-R-U. We have a video tour that'll show you everything, break down our entire site for you, and we think you'd be pretty pleased with the service.
Fantastic stuff. I mean, the information you've brought in the last 15 minutes, I think alone, would be worth the $29.95, Joe.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Love the energy and love the information, and I think we're definitely going to talk to you down the road here this season and keep it going, and definitely encourage everyone to check out fantasyguru.com. So, Joe, thank you very much for joining us. We'll definitely talk to you again
down
the line.
Thank you so much, Brian. We'll stay in touch.
All right, Joe. Much appreciated. This is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. You just heard some great insight from Joe Dolan, senior writer at fantasyguru.com. You can definitely check it out. He gave you all the information there, what you can find, and like he said, you can buy what they have to offer this year and get next year as well. So definitely worth looking into. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. 508-543-7482. Got a couple more email addresses here as we hit the home stretch on the Fantasy Lowdown for a Thursday here, heading into week 6 of the NFL season. This one here is from Harry. I currently have both Michael Crabtree and Mike Vick on my bench. His questions, number one, do you think Crabtree will become a productive second or third starter in the near future? And number two, would you hang on to Michael Vick any longer, hoping he'll get more playing time in the future, or will he have any trade value, possibly as a throw-in to get a player I want? Number three, I'm planning on starting Crabtree against the Texans next week instead of Carolina's Steve Smith against the Bills. Do you advise this? Thanks. In general, my feelings toward Crabtree and Michael Vick are don't have him on your team. You could do better than that. I just simply don't think they're going to have a lot of impact. Let's just go with your questions individually. Do I think Crabtree will become a productive second or third starter in the near future? I don't. I don't think he will. Is he worth sort of hanging on to on your team through the NFL bye weeks? Yeah, I could see it, because if he does play next week, which is what he's expected, on I think October 25th is probably when he's going to have his first outing. If he does play and, you know, get some passes thrown his way, maybe makes a contribution, and we see some decent matchups for Sam Fran, I could see putting him in there and taking a chance on him. Once the bye weeks are gone, I think you're going to have better options at wide receiver. So if I had a hunch, I'd say no, he's not going to have a big impact as a second or third starter this year, but worth hanging on to the next couple weeks because, hey, I could be wrong. As far as Mike Vick, no, not at all. I just don't think there's any value for him for the Eagles or fantasy-wise. He's not their backup quarterback. There's been no sign that he's going to be a regular contributor and yard manufacturer and touchdown guy this year, and I just don't think he'll have any trade value. Now, I mean, stranger things have happened. Let's say 5 weeks from now, you know, Michael Vick goes down and Kevin Cobb isn't performing and Donovan McNabb goes down and Mike Vick gets some carries, runs the ball, gets in the end zone, and there's a little bit of fanfare for him. Yeah, maybe there could be some trade value. I just don't see it happening. Planning on starting Crabtree against the Texans instead of Carolina Steve Smith, I think it would be a mistake. I just think that'll be a mistake. Carolina Steve Smith, he is on the downside, no question about it. But, you know, if Steve Smith has a big performance against the Bills and you had him on your bench and Crabtree in your lineup, you're just not going to be happy about that. I just think it's too early to start benching a guy like Steve Smith for Michael Crabtree. That's my opinion there. Harry, thank you very much for emailing. Definitely keep it up. Good luck with those decisions. But just in general, not big on Michael Crabtree or Mike Vick this year. Next one here from Joshua in California. Hey, Brian, you helped me last week, and I need your help again. I have some start 'em and sit 'em questions. Also, what do you think of Kyle Orton and the Broncos offense? All right, first of all, Kyle Orton and the Broncos offense, hey, at this point, I like it. I think they got great wide receivers, or a great core of wide receivers. Brandon Marshall's great. The other guys are pretty good. And if Kyle Orton and that offense keep rolling, we just heard Joe Dolan talking about Knowshon Moreno and a big game he could have. I think it might still be a week to week thing for that Bronco offense as far as, you know, how often you want to start Kyle Orton. Most likely, on your team, I don't want to speak for you, Jeremy. Most likely you have someone else at quarterback who going into the year was seen as better than Orton. And depending on who that is, you're not going to want to start Orton every week, but great backup to have. Great backup to have because he's more than a guy that you could just say, well, in a pinch, I could start him. You could almost rely on Kyle Orton right now, which is amazing. If he throws the ball as often as he did against the Patriots, you're going to see some big performances. Okay, as far as the start-em or sit-ems here for Joshua, he needs one quarterback between Tom Brady and Mark Sanchez. Why are you even asking? You're insulting me by asking me that, Joshua. Come on, you know better. Tom Brady, definitely, and we just heard what Joe Dolan had to say. This is going to be a huge week for Brady is what he thinks, and I tend to agree. Two running backs, Joseph Addai, Rashard Mendenhall, Julius Jones, Fred Taylor. Of course, you say Fred Taylor's injured. We know that. Addai is on a bye week, so you really have no choice there. Mendenhall and Julius Jones. Like Mendenhall for sure. Like him a lot. And Julius Jones, you know, don't like him as much, but you know, I think he could have a reasonable game this week against Arizona. That could be a game where both teams score a lot of points. So, if what you give me there are your choices, really, there's no choice there. It's Mendenhall and Jones. Wide receiver, T.J. Houshmandzadeh, Andre Johnson, Wes Welker, Michael Jenkins. You know, you don't want to sit Andre Johnson. You're never going to want to sit Andre Johnson, even with what we just heard from Joe about Cincinnati's receivers and, I'm sorry, cornerbacks and you know, they've been sort of shutting down the number one guy, but that still doesn't mean you want to sit Andre Johnson. Obviously, he is in your lineup. T.J. Houshmandzadeh, I like that passing game right now. I like that passing game. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. Seattle will against Arizona. I like T.J. Houshmandzadeh there and Wes Welker, too. Again, Brady's going to throw the ball. Welker might get into the end zone this week. I think your options there, your top three, are pretty good. I think you can feel pretty comfortable with Houshmandzadeh, Johnson, and Welker. And, you know, Michael Jenkins definitely slides down that list. Don't like him as one of your top three there. Tight ends, Tony Gonzalez, Heath Miller. Tony Gonzalez is the guy. You know, he's the guy pretty much every week. If he's on your team other than bye week, which they've already had, you're going to want to start him. And then your kicker, Stephen Gostkowski. You know, he missed a kick last week, but you're going to feel comfortable with him every week. And Patriots defense, not going to want to start them every week, but this week against Tennessee, I think you could feel fairly comfortable. They're going to give up some rushing yardage, no question about it, to Chris Johnson, but you're going to be okay with that defense. So, Josh, hope that helps, and your questions on start 'em or sit 'em, love them. Keep them coming each and every week. I appreciate it. And here on the Fantasy Lowdown, webradio@patriots.com. That is our email address, webradio@patriots.com, here every Thursday from 4 to 5 Eastern. Greg Rosenthal is a guy that we always like to look at his rankings on rotoworld.com. And at quarterback, his top five this week: Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matt Schaub, Ben Roethlisberger, and Drew Brees. You know, really can't go wrong against any of those guys. Brady, these are some matchups that I think some of these quarterbacks are going to exploit. Rodgers against Detroit, no question about it. Brady against Tennessee, you got to figure he goes deep a lot. Matt Schaub against Cincinnati, hey, with that passing game, any game could be big. Ben Roethlisberger against Cleveland. You might not figure Ben Roethlisberger will be a top four fantasy QB every week, but against Cleveland, yes. And Drew Brees against the Giants, I see a big performance out of Brees after going two straight games without a touchdown pass. Quickly, running backs, Maurice Jones-Drew. A lot of people are thinking big for Maurice Jones-Drew this week against St. Louis. I agree. Adrian Peterson against Baltimore. Chris Johnson against New England. They'll run the ball a lot, and the Patriots have shown some vulnerability against the run. Matt Forte against Atlanta, and Cedric Benson, one of the true surprises in fantasy this year, against Houston, rounding out the top five. At wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald, number one against Seattle. Randy Moss against Tennessee, here with the Patriots. Andre Johnson at Cincinnati. Roddy White against Chicago, and Greg Jennings against Detroit. So really some of those quarterbacks and wide receivers are sort of linked up in the top five. So makes a lot of sense. Tight ends, Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Brent Celek, Owen Daniels, Kellen Winslow are the top five right there. Kellen Winslow coming off a two-touchdown performance. Defenses, Eagles against Oakland, Steelers against Cleveland, Jets against Buffalo, Packers against Detroit, Jaguars against St. Louis. I mean, there's so many bad teams in the NFL and so many bad defenses that if you need if you need a defense week to week, just go look at some of the matchups, and it's really unbelievable. Some of the terrible offenses out there. You know, a team like Jacksonville, the Jacksonville Jaguars, a top five defense, no chance. But they're playing St. Louis, so you're going to want to go for that one. So very interesting stuff there. Very interesting stuff out of Greg Rosenthal. Interesting stuff out of Joe Dolan. We will hear from Joe Dolan again later on down the line this season. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. We want to hear from you. Send us emails all throughout the week. We have a tricky week next week, and we're going to have to figure out exactly when we're going to come to you because of this London trip. I'll be heading out to London around the time of the game, but definitely keep posted on patriots.com. We will have information there. We'll have information for you on when the Fantasy Lowdown is going to air. Send us your email addresses anytime, and don't forget that the Fantasy Lowdown is available on a podcast. So if you miss our show from 4 to 5 Eastern, you can always get it on a podcast. Many thanks to all of our emailers this week. Many thanks to Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com, to Jason Dvorkin as well. Good luck this week. Try to get your first win or keep up your 0-6.
0-6 next week. We'll talk about it.
Try to get to 0-16. All right, this is the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com. We'll talk to you again next week.